podcast of the Rugby League European Federation, and we're going across the English Channel this week to speak to Christophe Jouvray from France. Christophe, bonjour, ça va?
Bonjour, Graham. Bonjour, everybody.
And where did you join us from, Christophe?
I'm actually in Avignon. I'm in a little village called Barbandana. It's right. 8 kilometers between Avignon, Arles, and Saint-Rémy-de-Provence, in the heart of Provence.
Sounds great. And you're still involved with the, you're saying you're involved with the Avignon club when we just talked the other day.
Yes, since I've been back in Avignon, it's my former club, it's my local club, and I have a lot of friends who are working for this club, so I'm trying to give them some experience, some advice, and I help them as a volunteer for sure in the board.
Oh, great stuff. So listen, Christophe, you've worked at the two biggest organizations in France Rugby League, the Federation itself and Catalan Dragons. So it'll be fascinating to hear about that and your journey over the last 15, 20 years. But I'm going to ask you the question I ask everybody, is your own personal first memory of Rugby League.
It was a long time ago. I was 5 years old, and my dad was a supporter for Avignon Rugby League. take me to go to training with the juniors in Avignon. I was 5 years old, and I was watching the match, the Avignon match in the French elite competition against Catalan, against Carcassonne, Lézignan, and Toulouse. And Villeneuve, and that was my first memories.
And did you then start playing yourself and as a kid played all the time?
Yes, I played from 5 years old, and I stopped maybe I was 38, and I was captain coach at the end, and I played with the Avignon Reserve at the end of my career just to help them to continue and to produce new young players.
Okay, so when you finish playing, and I think by your profession is you're an auditor, tell me how then you began to move into the management of the sport, particularly towards the French Federation.
Oh, I was I've been in a normal way, you know, as when you are passionate. I've been a player, coach, manager, and after that I was director of Avignon. And you know, when you are in a federation, part of a federation, but involved in a club, you are very often never happy with what happened on the federation, you know. So you complain every time about the match official, about the organization. So one day I say, rather than to complain all the time, you know, I will join the federation to try to do something. And Nicolas Lara was the next chairman, and I've been alongside him, and I've been elected in the French Federation in 2004 to try to do and to do things I was thinking we should do, and I've been in a part of the French Federation since 2004, and after that we had a very good relation. We had good relation with the Rugby Football League for sure, and also with Richard Lewis and Nigel Wood. Yep. And I've been part of the European Federation from 2005 or 6.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the European Federation being founded in 2003 by Richard Lewis and Jean-Paul Ferre, who I presume yourself and Nicholas succeeded as the leadership of the French Federation. So Nicholas was the president, and you were his deputy.
I was a French secrétaire général. We call that. Right. It looked like a vice president.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So what were the types of things that you set out to achieve for French Rugby League at that time?
Oh, the main file when we arrived in the French Federation was to try to ask to the English Rugby League people to welcome a French club in the competition, in Super League. So we had three clubs candidate. That was Perpignan, that was Toulouse, and Villeneuve-sur-Lot. And with Nicolas Lara, we had a lot of meeting with Richard Lewis and Nigel Wood. And we pushed to in favor of Catalan, for sure, to be part of the competition from 2006.
Okay, that's really interesting because, and obviously Richard and Nigel were the leadership, but of course you still had the Super League clubs. What was the biggest challenges to convince perhaps more the other clubs that this was going to be a benefit to bring in a French team? Because obviously they'd all experienced Paris Saint-Germain in 1996-97, but you know it hadn't gone anywhere. So what did you have to really overcome to convince people?
We just have to convince the not only for Catalan or for Super League, but for the international game in the world, we need to increase the level of the French rugby league. And that was, I think that was one of the main idea, was to accept a French club to improve the level of the French national team. Also, that was a long time ago, more than 15 years, but one of the dreams was to try to found a French TV, try to found some French sponsor, try to attract some French group of supporters to visit England and to be to support their team for the match, for the away match. And so we had a lot of goal. Unfortunately, not all of these have been reached.
Okay.
But I think it was necessary to boost the French rugby league at this time of the history.
Okay. And was there any particular Super League club owners who were particularly helpful and supportive of your desire to bring a French team in?
I joined the club. I was in the French Federation when the Catalan just come in. I was with Catalan from 2008. And yes, I can confirm I always had a very warm welcome from the majority of the club, you know, because they understood. I was here to represent the club, you know, and I was on behalf of the club at every meeting. So that was already a good improvement from between the start of the Catalans in Superliga and when I arrived. So I tried to be, despite my the barrier language, I tried to be part of the discussion around the table in the Superliga board meeting. And all the CEO, all the chairman been very welcome. Yep. But that was the time we was not able to lift a trophy.
Of course, we'll come on to that because the Catalan obviously developed and did lift a trophy. But just obviously when you convinced the Rugby Football League and Super League to bring in a French club, you said there was three potential options. And certainly I remember at the time, Toulouse felt like a very strong candidate because of the size of it, you know, just a bigger place. So it must have been really quite interesting to be in the French Federation and manage to try and support, but obviously give some advice to the Super League as to which might be the best bid to bring in. Was that quite a difficult situation?
Yes, because as you said, Toulouse and Catalan were very close because Toulouse is a big city. I think that's a lot of big potential in Toulouse. And it's the same 15 years ago. I'm still thinking Toulouse should be in Super League and we will be stronger, you know, if we have two professional club in Super League. And Toulouse is not risky because Toulouse is it's a big city and with a big potential of sponsor. TV could be interested. But at this time, 50 years ago, that was more risky to push Toulouse because Toulouse had already a strong rugby union team, a strong football team. And Catalan had more passion and they are more, maybe more potential, you know, to follow the team.
Well, I think when I looked at the decision, it felt like from afar Toulouse, because of the size of the and the, you know, the economic aspect, but as you say, probably Perpignan is almost steeped deeper in rugby league and less competition, albeit, you know, the rugby union is still significant. So was that a really important factor that you went to somewhere that actually had the real depth? And obviously, obviously that element of the Catalan element as well, you know, almost like a brand that is very, very strong for that part of it. Is that, do you think that was there for a really important deciding factor?
Totally. You're totally right to mention that. Yes. Catalan, it's a region, you know, it's a particular region, you know. People are very proud to be Catalan, and it's more than a city, you know. It's a region, and including all the Spanish area of Catalan, you know, with Barcelona. We know what we did in Barcelona to play at Camp Nou. We present the trophy in the Camp Nou, and it's a strong place financially and more with the identity. You know, they have a strong identity, more than just a city.
Okay, so in come Catalan Dragons. That must have been some night to be at for that opening Super League game. It was Wigan, I think, wasn't it?
Wigan in Emile Giral. It was in Gilbert Boutus against Wigan. Yeah, you're right. That was, yeah, a lot of rain. I remember that.
But it must have been some occasion to have set out yourself and Nicholas came in, you know, almost like your election manifesto to then be that there that evening, you know, to see that come to fruition.
Yes, that was that was a big event, you know, to play this first game in Perpignan, and and it was a good result for all the people who worked for this goal.
Sure. So just looking beyond that and just the relationship between France and England, you know, the two senior countries in Europe, the English is the bigger organization. How did you find the relationship with England through the RFL in terms of working on European and wider international development?
You're right when you say we are the second nation, but we are far from the level of the England Rugby League or Rugby RFL or now Super League Limited. And we are in the shadow. And I think like it will be the same in the South Hemisphere with Australia, you know, we should be aware we need to develop our game. And it's not a question to be stronger and stronger in one country in Europe or in one country in South Hemisphere, but we need to develop our game. And France could be a good asset for that. At this time, we cannot recognize we did all what we can do for that. But the journey of the Catalans in Super League has been a long journey, but a productive one. Now we need to try to reach the goal we tried to develop 15 years ago, I say before, was to improve the level of the French national team and sponsor and TV in France. The issue is Catalan are also the only one club to produce French player for the national team. So it's a really nightmare every time, because when you are the majority of your French player involved in the French national team to play a World Cup or European tournament, that means they don't have a rest between the two seasons. And I think that's the main issue, and that's why today is one of the argument, the main argument between France, between Catalan Dragons, between England, Rugby League, because they need to sit around the table and to discuss, to try to cover the interest of all the parts. Yeah. You know, but okay. We have to be honest, and we have to recognize one of the main reasons we've been included in Super League was to improve the level of French national team and to found financial support in France.
And might it, you know, the benefit of hindsight looking back, if part of Catalan's entry had had some regulation that they had to support the national team, you know, so you're going to get this successful Super League place, but you need to do A, B and C. Would that perhaps be in a helpful situation to help the national team? Because you're right, that was a key outcome I can remember at the time.
Yeah, and it's a real issue because if we had the Catalan coach hat on the head, it's difficult because you have to looking for and to protect your interest, and yeah. You have to be ready for the following season. And yeah. Sometimes I understood we had a lot of discussion with all the coach we had before, from Kevin Walters to Trent Robinson to Laurent Frissinou and now with Steve Manlamara. But it's a real issue, you know, because we asked to our coach to be at the best for the Super League. But in the same time, we asked to our coach to lend some player for French national team, you know, especially for the mid-season test in June. It has been always very difficult, and we all know the result we had, and it was not the right thing. So, yes, we need a real discussion in that, and yep. We need to improve, I'm sure.
And just going back to the relationship with England, the French Federation to England. And I never found yourself like this, but it was never easy necessarily for French people to receive advice from England. And I mean that in a general sense. And you know, every country's got its own cultural ways of doing things. So how well do you think that was managed in terms of what works in England doesn't necessarily mean it can just be put down and work in France? You've got to actually adjust it to the culture of France. Can you give a bit of understanding of almost needing to educate people about, yes, we understand it works well in Super League, but we've got to make it work in France, the cultural differences?
Yeah, yes. So we, I think in sport, like in business, like in life, we always have to take advice from better than you. But also you need to consider, as you say, the difference of culture. And we need to remember France, it's the only one country of rugby league with a French culture, with a Spanish culture. All the other nations in the North Hemisphere around England are English. All the nations in the South Hemisphere speak English. And the barrier, yes, we have some emergent nations in Europe also, but in the with the main country of rugby league, we are the only one with a French culture. And now with the Catalans in board, we have a French, Catalan, Spanish culture. So it's very different. So we need to try to translate all the English advice for managing, for financial, for community in the French on the French way, and it's not easy always.
Okay, so of course it then changes when France helps a number of other nations around Europe. You know, you become the teacher, the helper, the assister in many ways. So give us some countries that you remember working with. I mean, one that comes to mind is a strong connection with Morocco, for example. But just give us some of your experiences with other countries when you were at the French Federation.
Yeah, we try to help, for sure, Morocco. We try to help Spain. We try to help Belgium. I've been in Belgium. And under my time with the European Federation, I've been in agreement with the French Federation. I've been to Czech Republic for juniors tournament. We've been to Belgrade also, and for sure Wales, Scotland, and Ireland. And we always been very interested in developing other country, because as we all know, sometimes it's tough to play against England test match, but sometimes the level could be between the England team and the other country of North Hemisphere. So it was important for us to try to establish links with other country in Europe.
Okay. And I always remember one of the things was the need of the French Federation in terms of its funding from the French government to help tournaments, to be able to say this is the European Championships men, this is the European under 16 men or boys or under 18 and so on. So that was always, France were always keen to see formal tournaments. So can you explain just why that was so important in terms of, you know, the government's need to, you know, to then give you funding?
They need profiles. They need to show international events, you know. So the French minister on all the politic, local politic, want events, you know, and they are always here to support sport events if they are international. Okay. But we have to say too, in France, rugby union is very strong, and sometimes we have to fight to obtain some help for rugby league.
Sure. And in your time at the French Federation, what was the nature of the relationship with rugby union?
That was very quiet, you know. It was difficult. We tried to establish sometimes links. We play some test match in Rugby Union City, but sometimes you can find some friendly people, but sometimes they show you are not from our sport, Rugby Union, and you know the history of the name of rugby in France. You know, we've been Jeu à 13 for many years, and it was difficult for a lot of people to accept now we are a rugby league nation, right, and not just a Jeu à 13.
And did that attitude also politically, in government-wise, was that difficult to educate them? And maybe there was more rugby union people in positions of power that you had to deal with?
Yeah, exact. But it's not really a lot of rugby union people in the right seat. It's a rugby union is more recognized in France, especially in the north of France and in Paris. So sometimes some politic don't know really what is the difference between rugby league and rugby union. And when we talk about rugby, for them, they can imagine the Six Nations tournament, and it's difficult for them to understand we have another rugby with 13 players, and it's very strong in England, in Australia, in New Zealand. So we have always to explain the same thing, you know, and carry on that, and to explain how good is our sport, you know, how spectacular are our rules. And we have to, it's a fight from the start to the end, you know, and we never give up with that, and we have to continue always to do it.
Okay. So round about, I think, 2008, you actually get involved with Catalan, don't you? In a work sense. So tell us about how that came about and what your role was.
I've been a CEO for the club when I started in June 2008. I was, before that, I was an auditor in Avignon, and yep, I was in the French Federation board and also with the European Federation. And the Catalan start in 2006 and maybe before to prepare the Super League, yeah, but they put a lot of energy and money on the players, on the sport department, and yeah, not on the administration. So they realize after 2 or 3 years, and maybe because RFL was asking them to do a few things in this department, so they realize they need to employ somebody in the office to manage that. And because I was in good relation with Richard Lewis, Nigel Wood, with the French Federation, Richard Lewis' idea was I could be in the middle between RFL, French Federation, and Catalan Dragons to make a links between the three parts, with more transparency, you say?
Yep, sure.
Okay. So that was the idea at this time, and I was the guy in charge, and it has been my pleasure to jump in the Catalan Dragons to walk in my passion.
And so was there a short period when you were CEO of Catalan and still the Secretary General of the French Federation? Did they overlap together for a short period?
Sorry, could you repeat that?
So when you took on the Catalan chief executive role, were for a brief period, were you still involved with the French Federation?
Exact. I was still in the French board, but very quickly, it has been a lot of, as you say, you understand, conflict of interest.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle. And Richard Lewis ID was a good one, being in the middle, but also, you know, the person with strong character is difficult to be in the middle, you know, between two seats. And so I stayed 2 years like that. And after that, I left the French Federation to be part in my professional job at Catalans and full involved with the Catalans.
Okay. So as you say, there was a lot of investment into the playing side. I was very lucky to be... David Waite was a boss of mine at the RFL, and he obviously came to Catalan at the start and helped. And you know, you talked there about Trent Robinson, of course, who, you know, did a great job at Catalan, and then has gone on to, you know, numerous NRL titles. So, what did you need to do away from that side in the administration? What did you really start to achieve to build solid foundations for what is still a relatively new club, only four, you know, a couple of years into Super League, you know.
I think we've been okay in a lot of departments, and maybe better than a lot of very old English club. I mean, we've been okay in all the hospitality, all the membership, all the sponsor. We've been very good in this area. We have to admit we had a lack of power in the relation with French TV and French national sponsor. I think that what we needed at my time with the Catalan, and that what they need now, because I think that's the last thing we should found for Catalan or for maybe a second French club in Super League. We need to found now a TV, putting money in our competition, and I'm sure it will be easier to speak with the other English club chairman when we had found a TV deal or a national sponsor for the competition in France.
Yeah. Okay. So of course, you know, you were still, you know, pulling in good crowds, you know, filling the stadium regularly. You redeveloped the stadium quite significantly as well. So there was still, to me, there was still a very vibrant club going on and becoming increasingly competitive on the field as well.
Yeah, exact. We improved. It has been tough at the start because we don't used to have a French professional player, and we was obliged to form them, but we had a lot of young players. We arrived in 2006, like Rémi Casti, like Thomas Bosque, like Greg Moniz, like Sébastien Raguin. We had a lot of young players. Maybe they was not ready at the start, but now we all know good players they became.
Yeah, and obviously, for every coach, you talked about it earlier, they've got to get results. So they're probably quite keen sometimes to buy in experience, ready-made players, you know, maybe the 26, 27-year-old from England, Australia. But of course, there was probably a desire from some of the club to bring through young players from the French domestic scene. So was that quite a balance to be struck as well? Were you, you know, you were probably at the heart of that a little bit with your own son as well, you know?
Yes, it's difficult, and I think we didn't fix exactly the question now. We invest a lot of money in having an academy team 3 or 4 years ago, but it was a big cost for the club, you know. And I think the under 19 was too young to be ready for Super League when they became senior, you know. As maybe we've been wrong to invest in under 18. It could have been better to invest in a League One or Championship club, you know, to play against senior players. Because sometimes you can have some very good player when they turn 16, 17, 18, but you don't know if they could be ready to play Super League weekend after weekend when they are 22 or 23. So it's difficult because it's a lot of money, you know, for all the trips in England. And we invest a lot of money for maybe 3 years.
Yep.
Maybe it could have been better to send player on loan in Championship club, but we need to find the right system for that, you know. But we also need to improve the French elite competition, and that's what is happening now, because we have some ex young Catalan player or old Catalan player playing the French elite, so the level is increasing at this time in the French elite. But I'm not sure it's enough, good enough to be part of Catalan Dragons squad now and to be part of Super League. So we need to find the right recipe, you know, to try to provide more young French player.
Now, I think there's probably two highlights of Catalan in the last few years. So I'm going to hone in the first one, winning the Challenge Cup at Wembley. You know, you talked about there about, you know, lobbying the Rugby Football League to get a team into Super League in 2004 onwards. And then at some point you actually raised the oldest domestic trophy in Rugby League at the iconic Wembley. What was that like as a moment?
Oh, it's you know, sometimes I'm still dreaming about that, and it's difficult to realize we did it. You know, as you know, I've been passionate and I've been a rugby league fan for all my life. You know, and I've been to Wembley when I was young, and being at Wembley with a French club as a CEO of the club, it's still a dream for me. And we had a good team and this year, but we had few players injured for the Challenge Cup final at Wembley. And we play against Warrington, it was tough. And to lift a trophy in this incredible stadium, it's still a dream, you know. We're still dreaming about that, but we did it. Yeah, it has been one of the sports of the Catalan Dragons story since they are in Super League, and not only for Catalan but for the entire French rugby league, you know.
Just tell us a little bit about that, because that whole impact for the French rugby league, because this is a French team going and taking, you know, an English tournament. And it's been great how it's been opened up. You know, we've seen teams the last 20 odd years from Scotland, Ireland. We've seen Serbia in there as well. But that, you know, the history of it is not, you know, before that, it's not like that. So all of a sudden, the French have gone and taken the English trophy. It must have been a really positive vibe for all of French rugby league for that to happen.
Yeah, it's a big thing, but. It's a bizarre thing too, because we won we call that in France, we say that's the Coupe d'Angleterre. A lot of media say they won the English Cup. So how that works? A French club walk an English competition. So again, we had to explain to everybody how big is this trophy and how tough it's to win it. So it has been, it's very bizarre, you know, to have been able to win this trophy. And it has been a good impact on the French media, But unfortunately, you know, after a few weeks or few months, it's going down, you know, and nobody, because of the support of the French media, you know.
Yep.
Not sure today, if you ask to a lot of people who won the Challenge Cup final in 2018, I'm not sure a lot of people would tell you, oh, that's a French team, Catalan Dragon. I'm talking in French for sure. In England, people know.
And it's a great point you make. So if this was football, it would be like PSG winning the FA Cup. Okay? Yeah. But of course, in rugby union, it's the Heineken, the European Club Championship. So rugby league is so often we do this hybrid of winning the English Cup when you're not English, as it were. So it's almost something as we've got to, I maybe call it a European Championship, a European Cup, because people and you'll have been through this, people understand that. They might not understand the novelty of rugby league structures, but they understand the European Club Tournament just as they understand European Champions League. They understand the European Heineken Cup. So that is something perhaps that maybe for the Rugby Football League to consider in the future.
Yeah, I agree with you, but it could be challenging to ask to English people in charge of that to change the name, you know. We have to be honest, it's an English competition. If we had two Serbian team or three Spanish and three Scottish or Irish, yes, but we had only, I think Toulouse went in semi-final a few years ago.
They did, yes.
But, to be honest, it's still in the reality in English competition. So yes, to promote the game and to promote the competition, we could call it European Challenge Cup. But
and the other one I was going to raise, but of course, then playing at Barcelona, you know, Super League's biggest club attendance. That must have been quite a moment as well in terms of that the Catalan aspect of the club.
Yeah. It has been a huge development to play in Camp Nou, you know. But also, that's the same, you know, people in Barcelona are interested in Barça Football Club. And they've been happy to welcome us because of the identity, of the Catalan identity. And it's important around Barcelona.
Yeah,
but that's not mean we create a lot of rugby league club around Barcelona or on the Costa Brava since that, you know. They've been nice and polite to welcome us, but nothing, we have to know, nothing was free. We have to pay, you know. Barcelona, they are businessmen, you know, Barcelona Football Club, and they welcome us. They was smiling to have us. They was happy to show the red and Sanqueor, you say blood and gold banner in Barcelona. But that's it, you know. After that, it's difficult. We should invest in that. That means we should play maybe every year in Barcelona to make an impact on the media and on the financial support in Barcelona. But that was one shot. It's a pity it was only one shot. And I think a club like Catalan or French club should play more game on the road.
Yeah.
To explain what is Super League.
And on that, Christophe, so obviously great attendance, 30,000 plus. So what are the kind of things that stop it happening next year and the year after? Is it because actually the cost is quite high to hire the stadium and also finding other Super League clubs who prepare to take the risk of playing there?
So I left the Catalan in the at the beginning of 2019. So I was not here. I was here for the plans, and I met the president of Barcelona with Bernard Gouache many times at the end of 2018 after the Challenge Cup. But I was not here when we played. But I can imagine, because I heard a lot of story about how expensive was to organize this match, because you have to, when you play in a such great stadium, you know, and you have a lot of great place to play in England, nothing is free, you know. You have to pay for the security, you have to pay for the bar, you have to pay for the field, and I think it was it was a good event for publicity, but I'm not sure it was a good event for financial result.
Okay, so you know, you just say you left Catalan and you're now, you know, spending your time maybe doing some real estate development, but you know, critically, you know, speaking of your love of your sport, as you said, from 5 years, you're full circle because you're back at Avignon helping as a volunteer, and just touch upon a little bit. Obviously your son has had a professional career in the likes of Warrington and Featherstone. Interestingly, he was signed for Ottawa, so of course your sort of international development spreads even to North America, but he's back in Avignon now. Is there a hope that hopefully Ottawa, he might get back involved with Ottawa when they have a chance to rejoin the league?
Yes, Louis left Avignon when he was 17. He left first for Warrington Academy. After that, he'd been back to the Catalan to play with the reserve. He's been in many places in England as Whitehaven, Cumbria. Yep. He played for Batley Bulldogs, and last year he was at Featherstone Rovers, and he signed for Ottawa, but unfortunately because of the COVID crisis, he delayed his trip to Ottawa, and he was here, you know, doing nothing, just training. So the best thing for him was to sign for Avignon and to be able to play Sunday after Sunday, because the French elite is still going on here. Because that's the only competition we have in rugby league in France, the French elite. So they play every Sunday, and it's good. But yes, he loved to move to England, and he will love to go to Ottawa if that will happen. And in his mind, he like to discover a new place and to help to promote rugby league.
And so when you look back over what nearly, well, coming up for 20 years since you joined the Federation, if you know, so let's say 16, 17 years, what are you proudest of, Christophe, in your journey?
I'm proud to are still in contact with a lot of people with who I work, but with who I fight sometimes. When I say fight, is for rugby league fight, you know. Yeah, and I'm still happy, you know, talking to you today and talking about all this memory and all the people we've been involved with the European Federation. It's a good good smile for me, you know, and I really enjoy my time. And I'm not old enough to say that the past, you know. I'm still, every time I talk with people in England, you know, and if they need advice on the French game, you know, I will be here, you know. I love my time. I always enjoyed my time in England, every time I've been to England for meeting, for match. So I'm happy to be to be part of the system again, you know, of this world, because I had a lot of good memories, you know, and yeah, that's one of the best thing. I'm proud and I enjoy, you know, it's good to go to your office in the morning, happy, you know, and when you work in your passion, it's a privilege, we say, it's a big chance, you know, so for sure you have to fix a lot of issues, you have to manage some strong character. You have, when you are in French, in a French game, you have to travel many times in England. It's not easy. And so you are always in airport, in hotel, but it's good, you know, it's good to try to promote and to work for your game.
Sure. Well, listen, thank you for all you've done. And I always enjoyed your company. And I thought you were always very good at trying to bring people together to see both sides of everything. And as you say, the journey's still got more to go, not just for yourself, but European development. So thank you for your time today, Christophe. We really appreciate looking back over the last 15, 20 years.
That was funny. Yeah, it has been my pleasure to discuss.
Okay. Well, listen, folks, that wraps up this podcast. We'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. Obviously, the world's still in a difficult place, but we hear more and more about vaccinations and hopefully moving to a better place. And we hope that means that 2021 will bring more rugby league in your own domestic countries, far more than did in 2020. And of course, we still have the wonderful Rugby League World Cup 2021 of men's wheelchair and women's to look forward to. So stay safe, folks, and thank you once again.